Lip smacking good. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Lip Smacking Good, where the motto of this show is, if your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. I have looked around and I've been watching people, and I have found somebody that I think is a very interesting person, and I know you will too. His name is Andre Joseph, but I always want to call him Paul Andre Joseph, and I always think he's a beer. or his name sounds like a really, really good beer, and I always pick at him about that. But I want to introduce everybody to you, and you to everybody. Tell everybody about you, Paul. I mean, not Paul. Lord Hammer, is it Andre? I'm calling you Paul.
You're fine. Thank you for allowing me to be on. First off, I want to appreciate that you equate me for a good quality beer, not that cheap stuff that you see at the dollar store. You know?
Oh, no. You're a good beer. You know, your beer comes in, like, the bags. You know how to have the Crown Royals. You know, you get the pretty bag with the drawstring, you know. I don't know what kind of design, but yours would be like, you would have like a pretty glass that you pour it in, a pretty tall glass. Yeah.
With the pinky up while you sipping it. Classic.
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah. See, that's what I think about. When I think about it, I think of classy. I think of grown folks, you know, 30 and up. I'm sorry if you're under 30, but 30 and up, grown folks, you're going out, you're chilling, you know. You're too fancy for that kiddie stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you want it. It's like that, like I said, that cognac. You just want to sip on it.
The good stuff. The good stuff that your parents lock away.
Right. And don't allow you to look in there at.
Mm-hmm. But, I'm good. I'm doing good today. It's been, I think of myself as just a regular guy that loves to cook. I recently, acquired this passion about 3 years ago, and caught on to it, and just been sucking up information and trying to make some interesting dishes out of it.
Well, I'll tell you this much: for those of you that do not follow him on social media platforms, you're missing out, because every time I, especially on Facebook, because I think Facebook is where you put most of your stuff. I don't know if you have an Instagram or anything. I think you have an Instagram too, don't you?
I do have an Instagram.
Okay.
Andre Joseph.
Okay. But I know most of the time I'm on Facebook or Twitter a little bit more than I am on Instagram. So that's why I catch a lot of your pictures. And I'll be on, all of a sudden, I see all kinds of foods just floating down my timeline I ain't never heard of before. And with all these creative names, just makes me mad. It makes me hungry. Make me want to eat. And I'm like, oh my God, this man can cook. How do you take your photos? What kind of photography do you use?
I just use my camera phone. Usually I'll step outside and use natural light. It was an article that you guys actually, put out there on the show about, you know, 10, I believe it's 10 ways to help improve photography.
Right.
And it was all about, you know, white balancing and light and all that stuff. Like, well, since I had a camera phone, I knew all that, but I took in the information that I needed to know, natural lighting, don't use the flash, add some background objects, things like that to help make the pictures look a little bit better. And there's nothing worse than, you know, seeing like I go on Instagram, I see some real chefs, like real chefs that would cook me under the table, and they have low quality vision, or low quality pictures, because they don't know, you know, proper aspect of taking those. I think that's important. I think that's what makes my dishes look a little bit better than normal.
I know that, for us, about a few years ago, we're probably going to eventually upgrade, but we've upgraded to a digital camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's able to zoom in and zoom out and things like that. But yeah, the same thing. You try to use natural light, or you try to use soft lights, lights that aren't hard, lights that don't cause food to shadow.
Mm-hmm. I pay attention to the angles. You know how there's a lot of people that just want to do that up, that straight down photo.
Right.
it doesn't give any depth to the picture. Mm-mm. And you know, I want people to want to eat what I'm cooking, so I figure let me add some things to the background and let me see what I can do. And you know, I'm obviously not perfect at it because there's still some struggle pictures, but you know, I'm learning.
No, that what you do is not struggle. No.
I appreciate it, man.
No. What inspired you to want to cook?
It was actually Elon James White. About a few years ago, he started up a We Cook Hard, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
He would post some photos. I was like, I think I could do this. And then actually it was, and then after that, when you guys started with We Cook Medium.
Right, because we don't cook hard. Mm-mm.
And I was like, I can definitely do this. So I started getting into it, and I started improving myself. All my exes in the past were fantastic cooks. And, you know, I felt that I needed to contribute. But every time I contribute, it was, you know, because lack of knowledge and lack of training. You know, they were like, oh, let's put that dish over to the side and let's eat this. And I was like, well, let me go ahead and see what I can do better. So that helped.
What was that meal you was like, ha ha, I have got it? Oh, that meal you was just so proud of because you was like, I have mastered food.
Oh, peanut butter and jelly wings. Hmm. I made that a few weeks ago, and that was, like, I was skeptical when I first tried it, but I always wanted to try something different. And it had to be the most delicious set of wings I've ever had in my entire life.
And
I sat back and, you know, I had guests over and we were eating it. And I was actually mad watching them eat these wings and tear it up because I wanted more.
You know? And may I ask you, how do you prepare it? Is it a particular type of peanut butter? I'm just asking a particular type of jelly. Is there anything else in the mixture?
I used, if I'm not mistaken, Skippy peanut butter.
Okay.
And smooth peanut butter. And I used jalapeno jelly, sold at a farmer's market.
Jalapeno jelly? I never heard of that.
Jalapeno jelly. It came out real good. I can't think of any other ways I would actually use a separate peanut butter and jelly wing. So I wouldn't make a sandwich out of it. I'm not that bold.
I bet you probably can add that to other things to give it like a kick. Like you know how people taste something and they don't know what that kick is and they can't really put their finger on it. Something mm-hmm. like that. Something like that in small portions would probably be delicious in soups and chowder because it gives it a kick and it will kind of melt per se. Kind of like, you know what I'm saying, like into your meal without it being overwhelming.
And it'll add just a little bit of sweetness to it as well.
Right.
So yeah, I can see that. But I do need to find ways to using the rest because I bought it just for that one dish. So I need to justify, me paying for it by making other dishes with it. So that's not the project that I need to find.
One way they can help, and I know people kind of overlook this. Google it. Google that. And it's what, cause sometimes I know Google is there, but I almost forget Google is there because it's sometimes so much a part of your life that Roger be looking at me. He like Google it. And I be like, you know what? You're right.
I am a product of Google and YouTube. Everything I've made so far, you know, it's something that you can find on Google, something you can look at video recipes on YouTube. And I just copy it and make some small alterations based on my taste. And that's it. That's it. And I fully do agree with you. Google it. And that's the easiest way to go. There's no excuses for anybody not to know anything here in this day and age.
How did you get into your like style where like you taste something and you kind of automatically knew like I need to add this, I need to adjust it? Because so many people that are like at home cooks or they don't feel comfortable with food. How did you get to the point where you were kind of brave enough to actually venture out?
Oh, experience and just practice. So many times I made a particular dish and it came out like horrible.
Right. And, that's part of the cooking process. I think people get scared of that, but that's part of the cooking process.
Exactly, exactly. And it's actually fun, you know, to look at someone and be like, this shit don't look good. Let me put this in the trash and start all over again.
Right.
Or see how I can repurpose something.
Right.
You know, just years and experience. I've sat back and, you know, sampled different spices and different combinations and see what I like. And, you know, since I don't have any formal training on this, just getting out there and putting that stuff forward.
Are you like me? I'm more of a, when I first am introduced to a dish, I am a measure girl. Like, I measure to the T, but then as I become familiar with whatever I'm cooking, then I am more free to know how it's supposed to look and how it's supposed to taste and adjust it to my style. Are you a measuring person like me, or are you more of a free for all, like my mama with a pinch of this and a toenail of this, and I'm looking at her like, what the hell does that mean?
At first, I was measuring, but then continuing cooking and getting used to how things feel and how things look. Yeah, I just now toss it in there.
Do you prepare meals with your hands? Because, you know, certain things, like when you deal with the ground beef and certain types of meat, it's best to literally mash and combine things with your hands. That's kind of hard to get people to understand, because it's like you really need to feel the consistency of it to be sure that it's like where you want it to be. Do you mind? I know some people, like, they put on gloves and things, but sometimes, depending on what the meal is and I guess what you're preparing, you might not get it right, or it might be different every time because you're not really feeling it.
Oh, I get in there. There's no shame in it. You know, I dig my hands real deep in it. You know, so I can feel the texture and the consistency of what I want.
Right.
Especially like if I'm making, you know, like beef patties or empanadas, and I want to take just of the meat. Yeah, I want to get in there. And feel what consistency I'm working with. And nothing soap and water can't get off.
Right. Cause I know for me, especially when I made my, my black bean burgers, well, it actually is like a veggie black bean burgers, and Roderick loves them. The first time they were terrible. And my thing is like, I had never made it before because I think my father-in-law made some, and they were absolutely delicious. And I was like, I have no idea how the hell he did this, or how to get it right. And so I was talking to him about it. He was kind of telling me about it, but it's still one of those things where you almost have to prepare it yourself. And like for me, whenever I make mine, I chop every vegetable I have in the house goes into this. Literally, I make it with squash and cucumbers. I made it with broccoli. I make it with mushrooms. I make it with jalapeno peppers, onions. I make it with scallions. I've even chopped potatoes fine enough and threw some red potatoes in there. Just chop it really, really fine. I wrote roasted red peppers, jalapeno peppers, like basically almost anything I can put my hands on goes in with it. And for me, it was getting the consistency right, because I think the first time I did it, you actually added egg to it as a binder, you know, to help bind everything together. And I think the first time I made it, I didn't add enough because I do like flour and cornmeal, and I do Italian breadcrumbs, and I didn't have enough of that. So the first time I made it, they fell to pieces because it was too wet, and I didn't realize that at the time. And it's one of those things where you don't realize until you start cooking, and you're like, oh, well, something's not right about this. They were delicious, but they were just falling to pieces. I kept saying, but what he did, his like a burger. I was so confused. But the second time I did it, It was like every time I did it, I got better and better and better at it. So it's just one of those things where I do understand it, because, yeah, I'm not trained in cooking either, but I will get in there and burn dishes and tear dishes up. It's been a million times Roger has came home and I looked at him and I'm like, not today. You know, go ahead and order some pizza, because whatever I cook, you don't want. And so one thing I can say that I am proud of about Roger is that Roger is getting more creative in the kitchen, because like he was like a one meal man. It was breakfast, He didn't do anything outside, nothing outside of breakfast. So, but now he's gotten bolder, and like we have a crock pot. So a lot of his stuff is like crock pot based. He made some chicken chili in that crock pot that was outstanding. It was really, really, really good. And he made some, he made a pulled pork soup or something like that. It was awesome too. So like I said, it's just really neat. And I can't speak for anybody else. And I'm just telling you this from a woman's perspective. A lot of men, they sleeping on that cooking because sleep, when you cook, it absolutely turn most women on. Most women that are straight are turned on if her man can literally cook, because this is one of those things where you ain't got to cook all the time, but just every now and then the preparing of the meal ain't on you. You know,
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. I do want to add that it's also refreshing when a woman comes home to a hot meal and a clean kitchen.
Right. Oh my gosh. And you know what? Dudes be taking an L. You know what that guarantees? Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, she gonna fuck you because it's like she got the energy to. But Deuce better realize that she has the energy. She ain't gotta put the kids to bed. She ain't gotta prepare a meal. She ain't gotta be rushing. She can just walk in the house. She smell that food and she's like, oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's a relaxing feeling, and I think so many dudes just don't understand. And cooking, it can have its challenges. But she's not asking you to be a top chef, you know, and when it comes to a meal, I'm not picky, you know, because I'll eat just about anything. I went and kept a goddamn grilled cheese sandwich. I didn't have to cook the shit. I didn't have to prepare a meal. So
there's a satisfying sense when, you know, when you cook, you take the time to cook something for someone and you present it to them and, you know, they truly do enjoy that meal.
Right.
You know, it's, I don't know. I think it's another reason why I do love doing it. You know, just watching that reaction and seeing the pleasure that person has just taking that first bite, you know. So.
And it means something. And especially if it's a meal with love, you know, because I think like a lot of times when you see the social media, you see people that are professional cooks, professional chefs, they own their own stores, you know, or even if they're not professional, they cook on such a professional level that they may as well be professional. But it intimidates people that cannot prepare meals like that, male and females. It's just very scary and very intimidating. But I say start off small. You know, start off really, really small when it comes to this. You know, you don't want to cook nothing big the first time because you might just frighten and scare yourself away. But I think that whenever you prepare meals, you end up spending less money. That's the thing. You're either going to do time or money. People go to fast food because it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as good for you, not as healthy for you. You can't control what goes into it. But it's because of time.
Plus, I don't know whose hands has been in it. I don't know what's going on with these people. So, right. You know, I feel more comfortable just coming home, getting these fresh ingredients, putting them together and, you know, and eating what I created, you know, and enjoying the, you know, seasoning the way I like it and things like that. And knowing that, you know, there's some sense of safety in what I eat. Cause, you know, folks out there are crazy and stupid.
Right, right. Ain't that the truth? Where do you get your ideas for your meals? Do you just have a list? You just go out and Google it? Like what do you wake up and say, this is what I'm gonna cook today?
Random. One of my favorite things when I get off of work, this one with how I actually, you know, wind down is like, I go to like Kroger or, you know, Fiesta, you know, the local grocery store. I just walk around and see what I can put together. And then, you know, if there's an idea that comes to me like, cause the idea of peanut butter jelly wings came up when I was looking at the peanut butter aisle, and I was like, what can I do with this? And then, you know, I said, well, you know, I heard peanut butter wings. So I Googled it and I thought, oh, there's already a recipe for that. So let's get this recipe together. And I looked and saw what they had in, you know, in the recipe. Well, I really don't like this particular spice. I really don't like this particular way. So let me add something else and make some changes with it to see how I like it. So usually just something random, and we'll see what happens.
I think, let me know if I'm wrong. Were you in like the Army?
I was in the Navy.
Okay, you were in the Navy. Okay, I knew it was some form of military. What's the difference between shopping in a regular grocery store and shopping in the commissary?
Nothing, just tax-free.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. And for those of you that don't know what the commissary is, it's like a grocery store on the Army base.
Mm-hmm. I do miss it, though, because, you know, that tax is coming out here, is hitting that wall a little tight, though.
How many years did you serve?
I did 6 years in the Navy. Enjoyed it.
Where did you travel and go?
Man, let's see. Starting from D.C. Chicago, when I did boot camp, right outside of Chicago, and then went to D.C., and then Virginia. And I was in Virginia, I was on the ship, so we went to Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, went to Iraq, went to Bahrain, went to England. Then on the West Coast, I'm sorry. Came back to the States, then went to Virginia, and then traveled down to Florida, Mississippi, Texas, then New York, Philly. These are all just travels for like small assignments or whatever. I know when the towers went down, our ship went up there to do relief.
Wow.
And then Japan, and from Japan we traveled like to Singapore, Thailand, Australia, then to Guam, a couple of days, Hawaii. And back to the States in California, up and down the western coast, and then Texas, Colorado, Ohio, and a lot of places in my time.
Did you get to try foods from all these places?
Man, it was one of the best experiences ever.
I could imagine
trying different places, being in Thailand and tasting like roasted insects just to see how it tasted. Or, you know, going down to Australia to see, you know, taste their beers, you know, or things like that. Man, it was an awesome experience.
Did you try kangaroo or they don't eat kangaroo?
I'm not saying that out of ignorance, but you know, like if I saw it, I would have definitely tried it.
Okay.
You know, I'm not averse to not, you know, I mean, I'm willing to try almost anything once.
Wow. And it's probably not a big difference, but what's the difference between like a military food, you know, how you eat on the base, and like civilian food? Is there a big difference? It's about the same.
You ever been to a place called Furs or you know, like Golden Corral or, you know,
yes,
place like that?
Like Ryan's and Quincy's? Yeah,
you know, yes. Okay. Yes. Like Ryan's. You know, you know you're not going to get, you know, top quality, well flavored food. You know,
okay,
it's something serviceable, something cheap
for everybody.
For everybody.
Okay.
You know, and that's usually what it is. A lot of people will say, you know, military food is bad, but you know, you look back at it, and you know, especially when you're young and you go on these drunk nights out there with, you know, with other military members, you come back and you look forward to that meal in the mess hall or, you know.
Wow. How did the military life, how did that change, like, just the way you eat or looked at food, or was food not a big part of that? Because I know you said you do all this traveling and things like that. Did you look at that and was like, I want to learn how to cook or prepare a lot of these meals that you came across?
It made me more open-minded.
Okay.
It made me willing to be open up to try new things and be able to explore what I can and what I'm willing to taste. You know, being here in America, we only eat, you know, what's typically around us, and
right,
you know, it's very limited if you sit back and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't too much variety when it comes to different cultures of meals and mm-hmm.
and dishes. And you have to look for them.
You really have to go out there and look for it, and mm-hmm. and some of them people may think is a burden to go through. No one's willing to drive across town to, you know, try this Ethiopian place because, you know, they don't know Africans, or, you know, they don't want to taste it, or, you know, any reason, or, you know, they just don't want to drive across town.
True. Never thought of it like that before. True. And how many children do you have, sweetie?
One. Yeah, only little, one I want, only one I need.
Your little girl. How do you prepare a meal for her? Because children are picky.
I give her everything that I make so far. She's old enough to know to chew and understand. You know, I do break it up into small pieces, but, you know, she's my official taste tester. And if I know that she doesn't like it, most likely I won't. But I won't give her anything that I don't like, though. You know, but, you know, she stays crushing my meals. So that's, you know, I do know that I'm doing a good job with that.
Oh, she's your food. How old is she?
She'll be 2 in November.
Oh, precious.
I nicknamed her OJ.
Oh, that the kids are a tough crowd, so I don't...
Oh, she picky as hell, though. She hella picky. She'll eat some red meat, but she won't eat beef.
Okay.
She'll eat bacon. She'll eat lamb, but she doesn't eat like bits of beef.
Lamb.
She doesn't eat that. If it doesn't look good to her, she'll just, you know, she'll wave it away. Well, she's picking up this bad habit where she's throwing the food on the floor, and I have to correct her on that. But
right, because I'm not your self servant, honey.
This ain't color purple.
Right,
they ate so much stuff on the wall.
No,
calm that mess down.
No. Wow, I know, because is she to the age where she doesn't like green?
No, she'll eat green.
Because a lot of kids green. I think they think it's boo boo, so they be like, "No, I'm good."
Oh no, she'll eat it. She'll eat greens. She won't eat. What is it? I made some squash the other day, and she would not eat it. So I don't know why. She just looked at it and smelled it, and she's like, she knew instantly that she wouldn't like it, or she wasn't willing to try it. So I tried to put it in her mouth, and she just pushed my hand away. So I was like, all right, I'm not going to force you.
She's like, nope. Like my niece, she's different. Like,
how old is niece?
She loves water. Loves water. Doesn't really drink sodas. She has this thing where she loves chicken nuggets and applesauce. Her personal favorite. I have no idea where she get this combo from, but you get her chicken nuggets. She don't take dipping sauce. She don't take ketchup. She eats it with applesauce. I looked at her grandma like, okay, I guess that's what she'll be eating.
Olivia won't eat chicken nuggets.
Wow.
Yeah, she'll eat chicken, like whole chicken. Like I'll give her a chicken drum. Cause she won't eat wings, but she'll eat the drum.
Okay.
She'll tear a drum up. If I give her a chicken nugget, she'll just look at it and put it back.
Like, I guess okay. She said, what is this flat thing? No, thank you.
Like, I need a bone.
Right. Does she do chicken tenders?
She does not do chicken tenders.
Ah. Probably cause it looked like a nugget. She's precious. And me and my niece, it was hilarious. Me and my niece, we fell out in the back seat of the car. My husband and his mama was in the front seat, and me and her was in the back seat. And I didn't notice at the time. She don't eat chocolate. But I didn't notice at the time. And so she couldn't have been no more than 2 or 3. I had me some M&Ms. I love peanut M&Ms. So I was going to town. So she was like, put her hand out because she has some. I was like, okay, cool. I mean, you can have some. What she was doing was that she was sucking the coating until she got to the chocolate and then putting it back in my hand. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why don't you eat it? I was like, that's nasty. Why are you giving this back to me? And me and her fell out because I quit giving it to her because I was like, you're not going to just suck all the coating off all my goddamn M&Ms. No. And she started crying and I didn't care.
I cannot give Olivia orange slices. She'll just take the orange, suck on it, suck all the juice out, and just and hand me this little nub of pulp. And I'm just looking at her like this is just a waste of a mess. Let me just give you some orange juice and be on your way.
Right, because it's less hassle. Okay, I am so glad I'm not the only one. What is the most unique thing you've ever eaten out of all your world travels?
I was, we was in, Pattaya Beach in Thailand at the end. I think it was dog. I'm not sure it was dog. Mm. The people around me said it was dog, like the locals. It tasted delicious. So I'm going to go with that.
What was it flavored in, or?
It was, I remember it did not having like a chicken consistency. I remember thinking like, it doesn't taste like chicken the way everybody thinks everybody tastes like chicken. It was kind of tough. Well flavored. I remember coconut. Mm. Yeah. It was good.
Did your daddy cook?
My father, he was a cook of the house, when we were young, cause my mom can't cook with Dan. speaking of which, she keeps trying to invite us all over to, you know, for her to cook. And, you know, I'm like, all right, well, mom, I'm going to come over and cook. She's like, well, no, I'm going to cook. You know, I'm like, knowing how bad it's going to taste. And, you know, I love my mom to death, you know.
But personally. Yeah, you don't want to waste the time and then you have to eat before or afterwards.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, no, mom, I'll come over and cook for you. Cause, you know, she lives just across the street from me, since my father passed. So I'll just walk across the street and, you know, cook. I'll cook for her, or I'll cook and invite her over, because, you know, it's two specific reasons, though. You know, I love cooking for my mother, and I'm not tasting her food.
And when you say bad, how bad is bad, sweetie?
Man. She made some spaghetti a few weeks ago, and. For some reason, people like putting sugar in their spaghetti, and I think that's sacrilegious. But it came out like extra sweet. She must have dumped it in like it was Kool-Aid.
Right. I did that once by accident, and Roger was like, what the hell is this? I was like, I didn't realize I put that much sugar. And so because I've seen people, I was like, why would you put sugar in it? I just make it without sugar. I was like, fuck it. Sugar don't matter. Yeah. It actually tastes better to me without the sugar, but that's just me, because I think they had this thing where they said it takes the, acid, cuts down on the acid, but it's like you just need to sprinkle it. I think some people put like a tablespoon or two, just too much.
Nah, I'm good. Don't eat any.
Because I like tomato sauce. You know, I like the taste of whatever the tomato base is supposed to be, but that's just me.
Yeah, I can't get down with sweet spaghetti. But she added so much, my teeth hurt. So I was
that's not good at all.
Yeah, so Thanksgiving last year, she cooked some greens, and it wasn't the business. So, but I do love her.
love her.
she always has unlimited access to my daughter, and she has a key to my place, so she can come over and just make us up a plate of whatever I make, you know. So. She's happy about that.
I'm glad she is now. I can't cook no greens either. I'm with her. First time I tried to cook greens, I put them in a crock pot. I don't know why I put them in a crock pot. I tried to put them in a crock pot. Them things boil forever. They boil so long, I got mad and just dumped them and threw them all away. My mother-in-law, she was like, well, you could have put them in a big pot. I was like, I don't know. I don't know nothing about no greens. I just got mad. I was like, fuck it. I was like, I don't have time for none of this. It was just so frustrating. I don't think I've tried greens since then. One day I'll be bold enough to try greens. Like my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, Lord bless their souls. Cause they in their backyard, they grow stuff. So we get like tomatoes from them. We get, squash from them. Like, they know the seasons. My father-in-law, he grows, like, peppers and all kinds of things. I don't have the patience for that. They just give me a big bag of shit, and I bring it home. I'm like, good, we ain't got to go to Harris Teeter. But I know I'm not going out there. I just paid the $3.99 for now, whatever it is, a pound, and call it a day. I don't have the patience for that. And it's one of those things where, I don't know, I might get that bug when I get old, but I kill everything. I kill plants. Like, you want your plant to die? Bring it over here. It is good as dead.
I think if, once I own a home, I would like a, you know, just an herb garden, you know, just go out there and pick some fresh herbs, you know, then keep it as simple as that. I'm not going to get, you know, like real fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. I'm with you. I don't have that type of skill level or patience.
Right, but it's so delicious. When I tell you the stuff out of their garden is just magnificent, because because it's probably, it doesn't have the pesticides, you know, it's coming straight from the ground. Like, it tastes wonderful, but it takes a lot of goddamn work. No, thank you.
The alternative is hopping in the car, going down the street and getting something.
Right, it's already in the grocery store. Right. I ain't got to wait 4 to 6 months. I don't have to see, you know, be sure the season is right. You know, I ain't got to go out there and water it and till the ground and turn the, you know, it up.
Looking at weather reports, thinking about, man, is this garden going to last this rain?
Right. And my mama, before she, now she's too old to do it, but when she was younger, she used to do that too. How she had a garden and everything. And I'm just not outdoorsy like that. She would make me mad because I would be, I never said to her face, but I'd be cussing up underneath my breath because she got me out here in this goddamn garden. I don't give a fuck. I'd be hot because I'd be like, doesn't matter. I was like, I don't care. And I think that turned me off to a lot of that stuff. Bugs biting at you. You got dirt. Oh.
My father, when we grew up, he had he used to grow fruits and vegetables all the time, but he wouldn't do anything because since he had, you know, a whole bunch of boys, it's easy to be like, yo, get your ass out there and, you know, pull them weeds up and, you know, right, turn them fruit or whatever, you know. So we was, so we spent a lot of Saturday mornings in doing all that mess, and it was not fun.
No, not fun at all. So I'm glad somebody else knows and understands my pain. What food events are you looking forward to this year?
Let's see. The one that already passed was restaurant week here, or restaurant month here here in Houston. Mm-hmm. Well, this ain't restaurant week, but it lasts a month down here. That's actually the only one that I've actually been enjoying checking out different restaurants down here. I want to do something for October, because I'm planning to head to DC then to see what's going on, but nothing else in particular.
Okay. Yeah. But you right down there where you are, there are a lot of food festivals, and they have a lot of food trucks. And I know here they have like truck festivals. I haven't been to one yet, but they said what is the most unique food truck you've eaten at? Because like I said, they're just now popping up around here, but I know down in that area they're a lot more popular.
The Mexican ones are good. I really wasn't big onto Mexican food because, you know, it just seemed, it seems commercial, you know, before I moved down here to Houston. So I actually go to a food truck and have the authentic stuff.
Right. Night and day, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. Total night and day.
Oh, my goodness. It'll change your life.
That authenticity makes it better. There's this one from the Middle Eastern cat, and they have a food truck that's right across the street from the hospital, and it's delicious. You get like lamb, like full lamb chops over rice, and it's delicious. So that's another one. There's a waffle bus that I love. I've been there twice, and I keep trying to find out where he's going.
A waffle? They make waffles?
Yeah. Waffle bus. It's off the chain.
Ooh, that sounds delicious. Because, like I said, around here, over the past, say, 5 to 7 years, they're more frequently, you know what I mean? You start seeing them a lot more. Even at my job, they have them rotating around where, like, some of them come, like, every week, like, once a day almost. Some of them, like, 2 to 3 days at the week is a food truck. When they kind of rotate it around. So that's when I realized, oh, this food truck thing must be serious.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of easy to get into, affordable for small business owners who want to start off somewhere. And, you know, you can actually go to where go to the clients, which is good.
That is true. I never thought about that before. Yeah, I'm gonna start. I've never eaten at one before, but one day when I find one, I'm going to actually start eating at them because I see it outside, but normally I like, you know, bring my lunch or go home for lunch. So I don't even think twice about it. But one day when I'm out and about and I see them, especially the more popular ones, they put out stuff on social media and everybody kind of flocks at the area that they're going to be at. So yeah, I got to branch out and do that. What
my experience with food trucks or actually eating overseas, because you know there's a lot of small little carts or whatever like that,
right,
is always go to where the longest line is. You know, ooh, obviously, you know, if the locals here know the best, you know the best place for the food, then I'm gonna go directly to where they are, and you know it's worth standing in line for a few, you know, for a few more minutes than going, because if the locals aren't eating at this place where there's no one there, obviously I shouldn't be eating there either.
You know what? That makes sense. Yeah, because like you said, the people that are willing to wait, I should too. When you're talking about Mexican food being commercialized, yeah, because I think a lot of times when people think of Mexican foods, they think of, as ignorant as it sounds, like a fucking Taco Bell, which is not goddamn Mexican. Or they think it's like fast Mexican food. And a lot of it, or like a lot of the chain Mexican restaurants, a lot of times that food is not good at all. I forgot the name of the place. We went to this place and I ordered a meal, and they have a disclaimer in the menu that says if you order this meal, it could take up to 30 to 40 minutes. And I was like, yeah, all right, that's what I want. I said, if you're taking that long, whatever it is, you're taking your time to prepare. If you got to tell me you ain't going to get this meal in 15 minutes, I'm good. And they bought this big ass, it was a bowl, but looked like the bowl they may have cooked it in. It was like a bowl with these two handles. Like they literally bought me a bowl with two handles. And it had I want to say saffron rice. And it had like four or five different meats. It had chicken, it had beef, it had scallops, it had shrimp. I think it may have had lambs. It had, the ones that you do it and it pops open. Oh. Hello?
Sorry about that.
Oh, did I lose you? I'm sorry, sweetie.
I was walking through the house and I tripped and dropped this damn phone.
That's all right. I was like, wait a minute, I think I lost him. I'm sorry, where did I stop at, sweetie?
We were talking about food trucks. And Mexican food. You're telling about the commercialization of Mexican food.
Yeah. And I was saying about the chain places. And yeah, we had went to this Mexican place. I was saying that when they bought it out, it was like a big old pot. And it had like these handles on the side. And it had like this yellow rice. I'm going to call it saffron rice. Hell, I'm calling it saffron rice. And it had like all this meat. And it had like chicken. It had, I'm going to say chicken, shrimp, beef, scallops. Scallops, I think. And what do you call it? Like oysters, the ones that pop open?
You talking about paella?
I'm not sure what they called the meal, but when I tell you, it was like a big ass feast, and I could not eat it all. And that was authentic Mexican food. And I was saying that when you order on the menu, they tell you that it takes 20 minutes. And I was like, that's serious right there. If they give a claimer that, hey, if you order this, don't be in a rush for this food.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like paella.
Oh, it was so good. And like I said, I really have gotten to the point where I really enjoy different foods from different cultures. Have you ever had any Indian food?
Like Native American or like the actual Indian?
Actual Indian. No, I've never had Native American food. No.
Yeah. The Indian spices with the curry and all that stuff like that. Yeah, this is delicious.
Right. Delicious. Have you ever had that naan bread? I always call it a na-na bread, and I don't think that's correct.
Or naan is what I call it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I made some I think last year with some seafood curry, and and that came out really delicious.
Roger has his coconut shrimp meal that he makes, and it is outstanding. I love when he makes it, and I cook most of the time, but I get jealous because I can't cook rice to save my goddamn life. I think I've become impatient when it comes to rice. Like, I've gotten better with it. Mm-hmm. I can't get my rice as flavorful and as fluffy as his. Now, I ain't even gonna lie. I'm jealous. I look at him sideways. I get patient. I think when he does his rice, he lets the rice, he puts everything he's gonna put in there. He puts a lot of seasoning in his rice. Mm-hmm. And he turns it low and he just lets it warm up and like boil on its own at a really low mm-hmm. temperature. I'm like, fuck that high. let's get to cooking.
It took me some time to get used to that concept as well. Because at first I was all rice cooker everything, because I just toss it in there and flip the switch and walk away.
Right.
But now that I've started making things like rice and peas and things like that, I need to I want to take my time and do it right. So add all the ingredients and then just walk away.
What is something that you've learned from your experience, just from cooking on your own, tips that you would tell somebody if they're hearing this and they're going, I'm feeling what that brother's saying, I want to step into some kitchen. What are your own personal kind of do's and don'ts that you've kind of acquired over the time?
It's okay to fail. If it didn't come out the way you wanted it, it's not the end of the world. You can just, do something else or, repurpose it. Take your time. High heat is not for everything. Salt isn't for everything. Mm-mm. And if you're going to cook something that you would want to eat, some people will try to cook something that they think supposed to look good, or they want to go out their box, and that's fine. Go out your box like that, but start small and work your way up.
I agree with what you said 100%.
And one last thing is, if you're going to season something, season it the way you like it. Mm-hmm. And if they don't like it, they don't have to eat it.
Right.
That's my motto, though.
Cool. So for those of you out there, you listening to abuse, I want to try, even women, I want to branch out. And cooking is a learning process, is a learning curve. Yes. Like you said, you're going to fuck up. There's going to be things that taste delicious, but look terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, this is good.
I made some empanadas like two or three days ago, and I fucked that whole thing up. Because one of the things that I'm not really good at, with something I'm practicing on, is actually frying things. I don't like frying things because, I don't like the taste of fried food, but the people around me love it. So that's why I'm actually trying to get into it. And so, but I'm not really masterful on that. Go ahead.
I know. Go ahead, sweetie. I was saying, what I've learned about frying food is that for me personally, I like to let my grease warm up at a slow pace. Because mm-hmm. I think sometimes people crank that heat up on high and they throw something in there and then they fry themselves to death along with whatever they just put on in there, because the grease is like on 10. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And something that I've learned too is, a lot of times if you want to check the temperature of your oil, just sprinkle flour. You sprinkle flour, the flour will dissolve. And that's how you know it's done. If your oil's not high enough, your flour will sit on top of it. Like if your oil is not to a frying point. And that's one way. And also another way I do it too is that sometimes I will take water and just flick water lightly across it and listen mm-hmm. to how it fries.
What's your favorite thing to fry up?
Ooh, let's see. Well, one of my favorite things to fry up, and this is because I know you're saying how you like the taste of, you don't like fried food taste. Something mm-hmm. that my mother, like I said, this is old school, something that my mother taught me, and I still use this recipe to today. What I do is, and I've used it several different ways, but my favorite thing to use it on is chicken. I take mm-hmm. Whatever type of chicken skin on, and I flour the chicken, like flour it however you're going to flour it, whatever you're going to do. Then I take oil, I put oil in my hand, and I pat every individual piece of chicken with oil. So you don't want to see any flour. Like, mm-hmm. So you coat it up. You don't add any more oil, any more grease or anything like that. And what you do, you take it, you put it in the oven. And at first I set it at 450 degrees and that's to get it frying. And once you get it frying like that, I keep it like that for about 15 to 20 minutes. And then I personally turn it down to about 400, 475, give or take. And I let it sit like that for about 20, 30 minutes. Turn it over, 20, 30 minutes more. Give or take how brown you want your chicken.
Mm-hmm. And you have a fryer or are you using just straight oil in a pot?
No, this is the oven. Like I say, you take the chicken, you go through the process. What you do, you take the chicken and you put the chicken in the oven. Mm. You add no more oil. The only oil on the chicken and or in the pan should be the oil that you hand patted across the chicken. No extra oil. And you put it in the oven. And like I said, you set it on 450. Set your oven on 450. Let it fry for about 15 minutes because at 450 we'll get the grease popping on the chicken. And then you turn it down. I turn mine down to about, 375, 400, give or take. Let it sit on one side 30 minutes. Turn it over. Let it sit on the other side about 15, 20, 30 minutes. Like I said, depending on how dark you want your chicken. But before I start, especially if you have larger pieces of chicken, I take like a knife or a fork and I poke straight through the meat at the bones. That way, as it's frying, it cooks completely all the way through. And you don't have to worry about it not cooking completely.
I'm going to give that technique a try.
And when I tell you, it is really, really good because you get the, like I say, once you put it in the oven, the only oil should be the oil that you hand pat. It tastes like fried chicken without the frying. Mm. If that makes sense, what I'm saying, because you turned it up and it went through the frying process without being drenched in oil, because
it has a nice crispy skin.
It sure does. It is wonderful. It has a nice crispy skin, and also what I've learned, if you want to get it a crispy cornmeal crisps this process up. That's what I've learned. Like if you want that crispiness, because it's going to crisp on its own, but if you like that extra crispy, I use cornmeal, and cornmeal for some reason coats it with the little grit, but you know what I'm saying, like it gets that little extra if you want the extra crispy to it. And like I said, I turn it over, fry it on one side once 30 minutes, turn it over, fry it on the other side, and check on it, because some people like their chicken like their coating darker, some people like their coating lighter, give or take how dark you want your coating. And give or take how the temperature of your oven, because I know some ovens are adjusted, but those are the temperatures that I use. And that way you get the chicken fried without the greasiness. Because when I tell you it doesn't taste greasy, it doesn't taste greasy at all because it hasn't been sitting in grease.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of my things I like to do in the oven. That's old school. My mama taught me how to do that. That's very, very old school right there. And I know, like, for me, I think, what is my, because the first time I cooked fried chicken, oh my God, it was horrific. It was terrible, sweetie. Because I had the oil too high. That's why I know about oil too high.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, my mama can cook, but she didn't have patience. So, when I wanted to learn how to cook, she constantly kicked me out the kitchen. Then when I needed to learn how to cook, I was not interested. I was into boys and other things. So I was like, fuck this cooker. Who got time to cook? When it's McDonald's up the street, if I want something to eat, because that's how kids think. And when I fried it, the oil was too high. And it was so pretty. That chicken was so beautiful, but it was not done. Because I was like, oh, this looks like my mama's chicken. Project busted. Because I learned how to cook when I was 18 in college. So a lot of my cooking was completely trial and error in a dormitory in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And he busted that chicken. He said, baby, I don't think this done. I said, oh, I don't think that's done either. Oh, no. Mm-mm. I was like, give it back here. I will throw all this chicken away. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't too, too bright on that side, but like I said, it's trial and error and just learning. And like I said, not being afraid to fail, not being afraid to have a fucked up meal, because like I say, certain things require you preparate. And then sometimes I've realized cooking, sometimes the instructions that they give you online are fucking wrong. You read them, you be like, that's not right.
Not to sound racist, but you could tell when something's made by like a, not, it's gonna sound racist. But if something that is made by like what made for like white people,
right? You know what? I've realized. Hold on 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Bless you.
Thank you. I've realized that especially if you're looking for good crock pot recipes,
mm-hmm.
a lot of those are made by white people because they're not flavorful.
Yes.
Because I've cooked those recipes and I'd be like, this is the most blandest shit ever. and I look online and be like, five stars. I'd be like, this is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, who is eating this foolishness? Do y'all got taste buds? Like, that's what I really think. Do y'all have taste buds? And a lot of the crock pot recipes, I have to tweak and adjust, mm-hmm. To how, people who like flavor in their food eat. You know, because I know it's white people out there that cook with flavor. And they looking at them recipes, too, going, this shit is terrible. You know, and it's just one of those things where I think if you are used to eating a bland food, it doesn't bother you. But when you're used to eating food with flavor and spices and food that has depth, you'd be like, I don't like any of this. So no, you're not. And a lot of them are, and a lot of them, you kind of have to tweak to your taste buds. Because like for us, like football season is coming around. And so, especially on Sundays, me and Roderick will, do the show and I'll cook some wings.
Mm-hmm.
And I like bake them. I bake them. I put all my spices on them. I bake them. And then what I do is that I shake them in, sauces around the house. He loves sriracha.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of sriracha. So a lot of times he does sriracha rings. I made him, sriracha, chicken breasts. He loves those.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm more of like the barbecue. I'm more of the Korean barbecue, which is actually awesome. I'm more of a lemon pepper type of girl. And once I put the flavor around it, I let it bake for another 15 minutes. And then, you know, we spent a fraction of the money. You know, between both of us, you know, 20, 30 rings between the both of us, 20, 30 rings at the, bar is very expensive. I know, cause we used to go to the bar for a while. We went to the bar every Sunday.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we wanted to hang with our friends and play fantasy football, but it's actually cheaper to do it at the house.
It is. You spend what, $20? You know, you have as many as you can eat.
Right. And have some left over.
Flavored the way you want it to be flavored.
Right. You know? And you have control. I think that's the biggest thing, having control. Especially as you get older, you begin to watch, you want to watch your salt intake. Which I think a lot of people have a tendency to overlook, but yeah, I've never been a big salt fan. Normally for me, however my food is given to me is how I normally eat it. And so for me, like, I never understood people that, which I know a lot of people do, put salt on their french fries. I look at you, my blood pressure goes up looking at you. And I'm like, oh my gosh. All that starch is going to turn to sugar anyway, and then you're putting salt on. I know that's some people, but a lot of times I think it's just the addiction to the salt.
It is.
You know, which is something people don't want to talk about, you know, because like a lot of my things that I prepare, I try to use everything fresh, and as fresh as I can get to fresh as I can. Fresh rosemary, fresh thyme, fresh cilantro. And these spices are wonderful. Like, you can really do some things with those spices.
And it adds, you know, better flavor to you know, just simple fries by just using fresh herbs, you know? Yeah.
Makes a hell of a difference. I know for me, I call it hash browns. I don't know if it's hash browns or not, but, I like to take red potatoes. Oh, actually white potatoes, but red potatoes are actually better and, scrub the outside of the potato, mm-hmm. and I keep the skin on, and I chop it up, and I do onions, I do garlic, I do tomatoes, I do jalapeno peppers, banana peppers, I do scallions sometimes, and I'll actually put it in a pan and sprinkle some oil, olive oil across it, and let it cook in the pan. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you that's delicious, well, that's my version of hash browns. It is very, very, very good.
I'm trying to think of, do I have a favorite potato dish? I think for me, a good potato dish would be a potato soup.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I love a good potato and ham soup. Yeah, yeah. You toss everything into a blender so it comes out nice and smooth and creamy.
I've had it. I've never made one. And while we talking, and how do you make your grilled cheese sandwiches? Or do you make grilled cheese sandwiches?
I do make my grilled cheese sandwiches, and I use mayonnaise instead of butter.
Hmm.
Yeah. I use actual cheeses, not that sliced cheese, that pre-shredded cheese. I'll get, the block cheese and cut it up, and I use thick cuts of bread, not that sliced bread. I'll just get a whole loaf and just cut it myself, and use mayonnaise, because to me it comes out crispier and more flavorful than like butter. Fried inside with some good meat. I'll probably add like some fresh tomato slices or some greens in it. It comes out popping.
Ooh, that's very different. I know for me, I've never had mayonnaise, but mm-hmm. I do butter, and what I do is something that I have found out is that I don't butter my bread, I butter my pan.
Okay.
And what I've realized is that when you butter your pan and then put your bread across it, the bread actually soaks up more of the butter. Mm-hmm. And it's so much, I can't explain it. It was like night and day. Somebody gave this tip about it. It was like, don't put it on your bread. Just mm-hmm. drop the butter in there and let the butter melt.
Yeah. I always believe that there really isn't a true way of cooking one particular dish. There's always multiple different ways of doing it.
Right.
And there is no such thing as a right way of doing it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. But you're making me think, because I think one of my best grilled cheese sandwiches, I like grilled cheese, tomato, and bacon.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But not that cheap bacon, that good cut bacon.
Right. And people go, tomato and bacon? I be looking at them, you ain't lived till you had that. Grilled cheese, tomato, and bacon. And like you mm-hmm. said, get you some of that potato soup. Lord have mercy, you are eating. Mm-hmm. That's a meal.
I made some cream of asparagus soup a few months ago, and it came out so delicious. And I made that with some shrimp skewers, and that was a real quick way to add some protein to the dish. And it was, I kind of wish I made a sandwich with it, but it was still good.
That sounds delicious. I think Roger wanted me to. I'm gonna make this tomorrow. But have you ever had stuffed cabbage?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I found this on the internet, and God bless whoever came up with this, because my mama gave me a head of cabbage. I was like, what the hell am I going to do with this head of cabbage? I looked at it sideways, because I was like, I'm definitely not making no coleslaw or no shit like that. I was like, what the hell am I going to do with this head of cabbage? And so I looked online and found out about it, and it is awesome. And I had to kind of tweak it up, because my recipe, like you said, very, very bland. So they mm-hmm. asked for tomato sauce. Tomato sauce, that's the most blandest shit ever. I looked at that oh my gosh, it's just red paste. What the hell is this? Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that, because you're just buying everything on the recipe. So a lot of times what I do, I just use my favorite type of pasta sauce, like spaghetti sauce, and call it a day.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's the same thing.
Similar to it. I can see that. I can see that working, depending on how much you use.
Right, and yeah, it's not the same thing as in the same thing, but it's similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know somebody is a chef out there probably pointing and fussing right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's there's someone that's going to listen to the conversation and be like, these niggas don't know what the hell they talking about.
Right. She just bought somebody. She just bought somebody on her show and just a rambling one. What the hell is they talking about? But nah, these are our experiences.
Like mayonnaise. Who puts mayonnaise on a sandwich? Like on a grilled cheese sandwich? You know,
oh,
someone's going to complain about something.
Oh, why you joking? I'm going to try that.
Try it out. Try it out. I think you'll like it. Try like the garlic mayonnaise if you can find it. Right. It comes out like a different deficit.
Oh, and while you playing, I think I might get some flavored butter for my pan. You know, when I do it in the pan, get some flavored butter and get that flavor on the bread.
Or what I did a few days ago, I just got some vegetable oil or some olive oil, and I actually added like 40 cloves of garlic in it into a pot. I just let it cook real slow. You know, until the garlic turned toasty, I strained it up, and then you have garlic oil.
Oh my!
You can save it and use it for whatever you want to add some different flavors to it.
You learn something new every day. I did not know that. Ooh, man, I'm getting all kinds of ideas. What's your favorite thing to eat that you don't make?
Oh, what I don't make. It would have to be, there is this, the food truck cross street from the job. And it's this lamb. It's like a gyro over rice. It's like this lamb meat with the cucumber sauce and the rice and the tomatoes and the, you know, the vegetables on top of it. And it's so delicious. I want to give it a try one day, but one day when I have the time to do it, but yeah.
That sounds awesome. Well, what's your favorite thing to eat that you do make?
It's actually coconut milk. I fell in love with it. Olivia loves it.
You make your own coconut milk?
Yeah. Just get some coconut flakes, with 4 cups of water. I usually get a whole coconut, like a ripe coconut, crack it open and use that water and, you know, toss some of that water in it with some of the pulp. Put it in a blender, strain it real good. Actually, strain it with some cheesecloth in a fine strainer, and that's coconut milk, and it's sweet and delicious. Like, I'll add that to everything. If I'm making ice cream or just a bowl of cereal, even just pour a glass of it and drink it.
Wow, I would have never thought about that. In fact, I never had coconut milk. I just hear rappers rapping about it, and everybody say it's expensive. So I was like, okay, I'll check out.
No. No, a coconut, you can get coconut for like $1.50 at the store. Coconut flakes, a big bag is $2. And, you know, I have a filter on my tap, so I use the filtered water. And that's it. You know?
Okay, cool.
Cups, which, you know.
Wow.
Every Friday I make it. And Olivia helps me out.
Wow. Hey, for those of you listening online, I hope you look it up. Don't be going in your kitchen talking about I'm making coconut milk and don't know what you're doing.
You
do
with almonds as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you make it with almonds as well. And your body, you know, your body can easily digest it much better than cow's milk, you know, than the dairy that they're peddling.
Yeah, true. Especially with a lot of black people that are lactose intolerant.
I shout out white people for showing me that. I appreciate them.
Wow. Yeah, because you know what? I do lactose-free milk.
Mm-hmm.
Roger do soy. Soy milk is so disgusting to me. I can't do soy. But he bought some almond milk in here. I'm going to have to try it.
Yeah, give it a try. You will not believe how, like, with the coconut milk, it came out very sweet. When I made it, I added just a teaspoon of vanilla extract, and it gave it a little bit better flavor to it. And it was delicious. Delicious.
I'm definitely going to try that. What is your favorite food to stash from others that you be like, I'm not sharing this?
I have a sweet tooth. So, and I made this pineapple upside down cake.
Ooh.
And I would not share that with anybody. You know, my mom comes over. She's like, what's that smell? Nothing. You good? We good?
We good. How do you make it?
Oh, I actually make it into cupcakes. so I can just eat one whole cupcake and not feel as if I'm a greedy.
Ooh.
So the same technique is making a regular one. You know you grease the bottom, you put mm-hmm. Put some brown sugar and some pineapples on the bottom, and then you make the the batter. However you make
your batter.
Cake.
Yeah.
I usually add pineapple juice instead of water. It adds a little bit of sweetness to it.
Ooh.
Some people look at me or will look at this and think it's funky, but
no.
I love it.
Mm-mm.
Pop it in, bake it till it's done, and then, flip them over, and then I'll add a fresh cherry on top because I don't like cooked cherries.
I'd have stashed that away too. Can you freeze them?
I don't know. I never thought about freezing them. They usually last for about 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
I pop them in the refrigerator and put them in the microwave for for a few seconds to warm them up, and they're usually a good breakfast for me.
Ooh. Give me all types of ideas. What is your favorite thing to drink? Non-alcoholic, alcoholic, or both?
For non-alcoholic, it would be coconut, coconut milk. Like, I love it to death. For alcoholic, it would be a Hennessy White.
Never heard of that. I mean, I've heard of Hennessy, but not Hennessy White.
A Hennessy White is good. It's good. It's a Hennessy made of white grapes.
Hmm.
You only get it overseas.
Okay, because I'm looking I ain't never heard of this.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you a picture.
Cool. I gotta. That sounds neat. That sounds really, really neat. Hennessy White. That sounds fancy. Like they're only serving in fine dinings. You ain't going to McDonald's and order no Hennessy Whites.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't ordering that for most clubs either.
And I still don't know why it's not sold here in the United States. I wish it was.
We have some very funny rules about some things. I regularly be like, nah, we ain't trying that.
Mm-hmm.
What is the worst thing you have ever cooked or ate? Or both?
And the first time I made grits.
I feel you on that one.
I made it for this chick a few years ago that I was trying to get in. And she wanted sugar in it. So I followed the directions. It came out, found good texture, good flavor into it. And then, good texture, good consistency. And then when I tasted it with the sugar in it, I was like, it had to be the worst tasting thing I've ever tasted. Like, I've never knew grits can taste so horrible with sugar. Maybe I'm sizing up the, how bad it was, but it was horrible.
What I've learned is that, when I was younger, I just put sugar in my grits. Mm-hmm. But you normally don't prepare it like that. You normally do it like after the fact. And when you start my grits, oh my God. Whoever made instructions for grits need to be fucking shot. They're terrible.
Yeah.
It's best, especially if it's like the bag, the old school grits. Because all it says is these many grits, this much water, you let it bubble and you stir. Yeah. It doesn't tell you that you're going to have to consistently add water to it to be sure that your grits are done.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell you none of that. Mm-mm. None of that. That was the most grittiest ass grits you could. I was like, what the? And everybody looked at me like, I was like, I don't know. I was like, I looked at them like, I followed the instructions.
Mm-hmm.
They was like, you ain't add no water. I was like, the instructions didn't say add water.
I make mine like the levels that they make it. I make it to what the package says. And I will have it on low. And where there's barely a flame, and then I'll just let it sit there. I'll stir occasionally, and then when it's almost done, I'll toss in some butter or some cheese, maybe some other herbs, and that's it. And it usually comes out good, but I used to have it on very, very low.
What I've learned how to do, I do Because it depends on how I feel. You know, if I'm feel like cooking regulars, I can. But if I get really, really lazy, my mama showed me how to do this. You can make instant grits taste like regular grits. I wouldn't have believed her, but you can.
What do you do?
I normally do two packages of instant grits. And you can use water, but a lot of times, instead of water, I will actually use chicken broth. It gives it a lot more flavor than just a standard water. Yeah. And a lot of times what I would do, I will heat the water up until it boils. Once the water starts boiling, I will add the grits. I will stir the grits so it doesn't lump up. And then I turn it down and I just let it bubble. Just let it boil for about 10 to 15 minutes. I just stir and let it boil for 10 to 15 minutes. Well, a lot of times I'll let it bubble on low until I finish cooking the rest of my meal. Then I keep an eye on it. Like, I'll peek in there, and if I see that it's getting too thick, I will add either more water or chicken broth to it and just let it mix up and stir. And a lot of times after about the first 10 to 15 minutes, I'm like you, I will add my butter, salt, pepper. I like to use, like spices and things that you have around, just kind of toss them in there.
Yeah.
And just let it simmer at a really, it's kind of what you say, a really low temperature, and it will taste just like regular grits, but you just can't just throw, how the instructions be like, put it in the microwave for a minute and a half, pour your grits in there, stir it. Mm-mm. That's not what those instructions for that say. But yeah.
I never liked that instant grit.
No, I wasn't a fan of it either. But when my mama showed me how to do that, and I get a little lazy, yeah, that's a quick fix. If you don't feel like sitting over there over the stove forever, that's a quick fix.
Yeah, you can't be mad at those though.
Oh no. So being quick sometimes is not always a bad thing. It can be, but it's not always a bad thing. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Is there any? I don't think I have any more questions for you, sweetie. Before we wrap up, tell the people out there how to reach you again, sweetie.
Oh, you can reach me on Twitter. I am Baldwin _V_Vest. It's BALDWIN _P_ VESS, like the cartoon character, the cop. You can catch me on Instagram on Andre Joseph, just one word, on the black and white photo. You can catch me on Facebook, Andre Joseph. I'm the guy with the baby in the air.
And she's beautiful, y'all. Oh, she got a pretty red dress. She's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. She's my angel. I'm glad she doesn't look too much like me. but you can find me there. There will be I'm reopening my blog that I had that closed down a few years ago called The Buttered Biscuit. It's opening up soon. I'm writing all these recipes that I'm creating now and taking pictures, and I'm going to create that in a few months once I get all this this equipment done, because that's money. But I don't know, starting some YouTube videos.
Ooh, that's not like a... Well, whenever you open up your restaurant, it should be called The Butter Biscuit. I'll be there.
Where you going?
The Butter Biscuit? Especially down south. Yes! I like that name. Keep that name. Keep that name. I want to tell you thank you for spending your time with me. This has been fun. Fun interview. I'm glad that the people out there, they hear us shout you out in the chat room. They hear us, interacting with you when we do our feedback show and things like that. So this is me introducing Andre Joseph to you guys. He's a real cool, interesting person. Reach out to him. Let him know how much you have loved and enjoyed the show. And sweetheart, keep on eating, keep on cooking. I keep on looking and watching, I promise you.
Well, thank you for the invite. As I've been a fan of a 10-star Karen and 5-star Rod for, you know, for almost four years now. You guys have been a part of, you guys have been a part of my life. Like you were there, seconds before, Olivia came to this world, and we had to turn it off when she started pushing, but you know, we were listening to you guys. you guys were there. So you're a staple of my life and many others. So I do appreciate the opportunity to at least have a conversation with you.
Thank you, sweetie. This has been fun. And for mm-hmm. those of you out there in the Black Guy Who Tips premium world, this is another episode of Lip Smacking Good. And I will see you guys next time. Thank you, sweeties. Bye-bye.